Ignition sequence start.
The reason I'm prepared for this position is because I've been preparing for this all my life.
As far as James, he's our guy.
We still got James Harden. Our goal is still to win a championship.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
Being in a win now situation, that's great. I'm a win now coach.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by 1010. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsible and sustainably sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful diamond ring launching exclusively on January 18th at BlueNile.com. This exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings launches on January 18th and you can preview it exclusively at BlueNile.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and the founder slash managing editor of ClutchCityControlRoom.com, your home for all things Houston hoops. You can follow me on Twitter, at JT Gatlin, the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets, as well as the blog at ClutchCityCR. Now, I've got plenty of thoughts about the ESPN article from Tim McMahon that dropped about James Harden and kind of some of the goings-on of, you know, him and his relationship with the Rockets franchise. And I want to share those thoughts, but we'll do that on Thursday's episode instead, because joining us today for this episode, we're going to keep things a little bit more light. We might talk about some of that stuff a little bit, but joining for this episode is good friend of the podcast, former Houston Rocket, current Rockets broadcaster, the Bullseye Man himself, Mr. Matt Bullard. How are you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing pretty good. NBA season looks like it's getting ready to, you know, to start here, and anything that's still on track in 2020 is something that's good in my book. So, you know, pretty good so far today.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so important to realize that, you know, you can't take anything for granted, you know, this day and age, especially everything going on with COVID-19 and all that. And, you know, the fact that the NBA was able to even put on a bubble to resume last season was impressive. And now we're getting, you know, albeit it's going to look a little bit different. And we'll talk about that, you know, throughout this podcast. But, you know, the fact that we're getting an NBA season at all, another season, a fresh season, is just very impressive. And the NBA continues to astound me in how they're handling everything in these very, you know, difficult times.
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, the credit goes to all the way to the top to Adam Silver. He's doing a terrific job of leading the NBA, you know, through unprecedented times and doing it, you know, with facts and data and reality and being careful and, you know, making sure that everybody is safe. And I think that leadership goes a long way. And then, of course, Chris Paul and the Players Association and Michelle Roberts as well, you know, joining in with a great partnership, it really makes me proud to be a part of the NBA, because I think what the NBA is doing here in the middle of this pandemic is showing people what true leadership really looks like.
Absolutely. No, you know, and the NBA can just, again, continues to impress with, you know, in every regard, you know, in concerns to that. But we're here to talk Rockets basketball, which is, it's, you know, there's been some difficult times as of late, you know, with Rockets basketball. And, you know, it's been a roller coaster ride to say the least, but we've got some new look Rockets. We've got John Wall, Boogie Cousins, you know, a bunch of fresh faces, Steven Silas, you know, new head coach. And there's a lot to be excited for going into this next season. Now, I would be remiss if we didn't spend at least a brief moment kind of talking about, you know, the story that has been following the Rockets, you know, the entire offseason, which is, you know, everything going on with James Harden. And we're not going to get into the details of it, but something that I do want to at least pick your brain about is, you know, there is a bit of a precedent there in regards to, you know, a star player specifically with the Houston Rockets franchise having expressed, you know, an interest in potentially moving on from the franchise. And it was none other than your teammate, you know, the Dream, Hakeem Olajuwon himself. And the precedent is there that, you know, he was not pleased with how the organization was, you know, handling things back in the day, sat down, had a conversation, and you know, things were turned around, and then he became a two-time champion. So maybe if you could walk us back through a little bit of that and kind of what went on with Dream and kind of how there might be some parallels to what might be going on with Harden right now.
Yeah, that's really an important thing for Rockets fans to understand is when you rewind the Rockets franchise back to let's go all the way back to the mid 80s when the Rockets drafted Hakeem Olajuwon out of the University of Houston, and the Rockets made the finals against the Boston Celtics, I believe it was 85 or 86, and did not win the championship that year. And then, you know, that was with Ralph Sampson, the Twin Towers, and so the Rockets were close. And then towards the late 80s, you know, the Rockets fell back. You know, they weren't quite championship caliber. I joined the team in 1990, and we had a real solid group of guys. We had, you know, the Dream, Otis Thorpe, Kenny Smith, Vernon Maxwell, Sleepy Floyd. We added Mario Elie. We added Robert Horry. We added Sam Cassell. And we grew as a group of guys. But in 1992, Hakeem Olajuwon was sort of, I'm going to say he probably felt very similarly to what James Harden is feeling right now. And that, you know, Dream had given his entire career to the Houston Rockets and had not won a championship yet. And he was getting frustrated. He felt like he deserved more money. And I believe, you know, at the time and even looking back at it, Dream did deserve more money. In fact, Dream deserved all the money, you know, but there are rules, you know, salary cap rules, and the owner at the time, Charlie Thomas, was a really nice man, but he wasn't like, you know, wasn't like he had unlimited funds. He wasn't a billionaire. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't just write checks to Hakeem and keep Hakeem happy. So Dream tried to force his way out in 92. And he wanted more money, but Dream was under contract, and so you know, going to the specific event that before that season, the first two games of that 92 season were played in Japan. So we had to take a flight from Houston to Japan to play the first two games of the season against the Seattle Supersonics, and Hakeem was sitting next to Charlie Thomas, the owner of the Rockets at the time, and I was sitting one row behind them on the airplane. And we're taking off for a 16-hour flight. And, you know, I knew that Dream was unhappy, and I knew, you know, that he wanted more money. I didn't know what the details were at the time. But once the plane took off, I started to pay attention to what Dream and Charlie Thomas were saying, because Dream was yelling. He was mad. He was really angry, and he was yelling at the owner. And I was like, holy crap. You know, I'm like a second-year player in the NBA, and I'm looking at the superstar yelling at the owner. I go, I didn't know that was even possible. But, you know, I was kind of listening in. But then after, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes, they both calmed down. Charlie did a really good job of listening to Dream and letting him vent. And then they calmed down and they had a conversation. And I lost interest, and I, you know, put my headphones on and stopped listening. But eventually what had turned out was on that 16-hour flight, those two guys had been able to sit down next to each other, talk things out. Charlie Thomas was able to explain to Hakeem that, you know, Hakeem, I understand you want more money. You deserve more money, but there are rules to the, you know, to the NBA. There is a contract that has been signed. And as a signer of that contract, Dream, you have to uphold your end of the contract. And I'm telling you as an owner, when that contract is up, I will give you more money, but I can't do it right now. And so that conversation between Dream and the owner went a long ways towards smoothing things out between Dream and the owner. Dream did get much more money as his career went on. You know, in that particular era, we weren't getting the kind of money that the players were now, but it was still, you know, in the millions of dollars. And so Dream was able to, Charlie Thomas was able to keep Dream engaged and going in the right direction with the Rockets. And of course, then in 94, we ended up winning a championship. And then in 95, the Rockets backed it up with back-to-back championships. So there is a precedent in Rockets history where the superstar has gotten angry, sat down with the owner, hashed it out, figured it out, got back on board and won championships. And so now as we fast forward here to 2020, that's sort of what I'm hoping for, is that whether it be Tillman Fertitta or Rafael Stone, the general manager, sitting down with James Harden, talking it out, letting James, you know, have his say, but also reminding James that, look, you're under contract for two more years with the Rockets. We have no obligation to have to trade you. And we expect you to hold up your end of the bargain, because your name is on that contract.
absolutely. No. And, you know, a lot of, you know, really great points made there in that story. And it's, you know, it's great to hear, you know, kind of a firsthand, you know, retelling of how that kind of played out. It's always great to get a glimpse into how those things happen in the team's history. And, you know, I think that, especially too, when you're looking at the, you know, the dream situation too, it wasn't, you know, even you alluded to this, that it wasn't necessarily all just about the money, that it was also, you know, you kind of get to a point as a player, you know, Dream was at that spot in his career where it felt like, you know, he had hit a wall basically. And they, you know, he wasn't going to be able to win a championship, which probably led to a little bit of that frustration. And that might be kind of where James Harden's, you know, headspace is at right now, where, you know, he's looking at, you know, how things have happened in the last couple seasons with the Rockets after, you know, being right at the peak, you know, game seven against the Warriors. And, you know, things haven't been moving in the right direction since then. But, you know, I think that Rafael Stone has done a really masterful job taking over for Daryl Morey and, you know, rearranging the roster and getting the right pieces in place to accentuate what James Harden excels at in this game. And I think that myself, you, and everybody else just wants to see this season play out and see what James Harden can possibly do with this new lineup, with these new look Rockets. And that's exactly what we're going to talk about next, is the new look Rockets. Steven Silas, and much, much more in just 1 second after a quick message from our friends over at Headspace. Look, life can be pretty stressful, even under normal circumstances. And let's face it, 2020 has been anything but normal. Thankfully, we're almost done with it. And sometimes, look, you just need stress relief that goes beyond quick fixes, and that's Headspace. Headspace is your daily dose of mindfulness in the form of guided meditations in an easy-to-use app. Headspace is one of the only meditation apps advancing the field of mindfulness and meditation through clinically validated research. So whatever the situation may call for, Headspace really can help you feel better. Maybe you're overwhelmed. Headspace has a 3-minute SOS meditation just for you. Maybe you need some help falling asleep. Headspace has wind-down sessions their members swear by. And for parents, Headspace even has morning meditations that you can do with your kids. Headspace's approach to mindfulness can reduce stress, improve sleep, boost focus, and increase your overall sense of well-being. You deserve to feel happier, and Headspace is meditation made simple. Go to headspace.com/lockedonmba. That's headspace.com/lockedonmba for a free 1-month trial with access to Headspace's full library of meditations for every situation. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Matt Bullard. Now, Matt, there have been a lot of moving parts, and, you know, we just alluded to this, but this new look Rockets team, there's a lot of fresh faces, and two of the probably the three most exciting faces, if it's okay for me to, you know, make this assumption, it's got to be new head coach Steven Silas, John Wall, and Boogie Cousins. And Silas, you've actually got a prior relationship with Steven Silas because you technically played for Steven Silas, right? So can you tell us a little bit about him as a person and what your reaction was when he was, you know, tapped to be the next Rockets head coach?
Yeah, my last year in the NBA was with the Charlotte Hornets. I had left the Rockets in the year 2000, played one final season in Charlotte for Paul Silas, who's Steven Silas's dad. And so Steven was a first year assistant coach on his dad's staff there in Charlotte in 2000-2001. And that's when I first got to meet Steven. He was a young guy, you know, he was very mild mannered. It was obvious that he was, you know, very smart, and he was just kind of learning everything that it took to be an assistant coach, you know, while he was there on his dad's staff. I really enjoyed playing for Paul Silas. You know, Paul Silas as a player was, you know, had the reputation of being an enforcer, a really, really tough guy, played hard. You did not want to cross him. And as a coach, he still had that sort of hard edge. You know, you knew you had to play hard for Paul Silas, but when you got to know him, he's actually a really, really nice guy. I mean, just a great guy, great personality, easy to get along with, easy to talk with. And so Steven is very much like his dad in that, you know, Steven was not an NBA player and not an enforcer type, but he still has that mild-mannered, easy to talk to, you know, very easy to trust type personality. And so, you know, I go back, and that's 20 years ago when I first got to meet Steven Silas. But over those last 20 years, Steven has then coached at many different places throughout the NBA, learning from many different head coaches. It's not just that he learned from his dad and that was it, but he also, you know, just coached with Rick Carlisle. He was also in Golden State and also in Cleveland. So Stephen has a large cross-section of NBA experience over the last 20 years. And I think that cross-section of NBA experience is very important, because the more different perspectives, the more different philosophies that you're able to understand, the better your particular philosophy is going to be, that, you know, the broader your own philosophy is going to be. And so when the Rockets were looking for a new head coach after Mike D'Antoni left and Stephen Silas's name came up, I got pretty excited, because I know the kind of guy that Stephen is, and I also know his experience, and I'm looking forward to seeing what he's going to be able to bring to Houston, especially the experience that he had the last couple years in Dallas, when he was, you know, basically the architect, along with Rick Carlisle, of the number one offensive rating in NBA history. And so I think that that variability that he's going to bring, he's talked about how he wants to be able to play different ways on both the offensive end and the defensive end. And I think that variability is very important in today's NBA. You can't just play one way. You have to be able to play multiple different ways and be able to mix it up throughout the games to make adjustments to who you're playing against. And I look at Nick Nurse, the coach at Toronto Raptors. He does a lot of different stuff, you know, even throwing out box and one defenses, which you don't normally see in the NBA. And when you keep your opponent you know, off balance, when they don't know what's coming, it's much harder to play against. So I think what Stephen brings to the Rockets is going to be exciting for us Rockets fans to watch.
Yeah, the word optionality is something that I've noticed is not, I don't want to call it a buzzword, but it definitely seems like a favorite of Silas's so far, you know, talking about optionality and versatility in a lot of his media availability, sessions, just talking about what they're trying to, you know, how they're trying to approach the game, both offensively and defensively. It's going to be, I think, I'm very much in agreement with you. I think, you know, Rockets fans are in for a treat to see, and we've already seen three preseason games so far, and you know, things don't look drastically different from how Mike D'Antoni was doing things, you know, and Silas said as much when he came in. He wasn't going to, you know, completely, he's not trying to reinvent the wheel, but he's instituting these little wrinkles here and there, these off-ball actions, certain plays being drawn up that are just, you know, they're phenomenal to watch, to see the players actually executing them. And one of the guys out there doing the executing, John Wall, you know, big story coming into this season is the health surrounding John Wall and Boogie Cousins, and are they poised for a bounce back season? And so far through three preseason games, I've been thoroughly impressed with how both of those guys look physically and what they're able to how they're able to perform on the court. So let's talk John Wall first impressions of him, and then we'll get into Boogie Cousins.
Yeah, and you know what you're alluding to is that both of those guys are coming off of Achilles tears, but both are about 2 years removed from that Achilles tear, so they've had you know, quite a bit of time to heal, and that's really what the most important thing is when you're coming back from a major injury, is having enough time to heal so that you know that you're back to feeling, you know, as close to 100% as you can. And 2 years from an Achilles tear is, you know, probably enough time to make yourself feel like you're close to being back to 100%. And that's what we're seeing from John Wall is he looks just as fast, just as explosive with the ball as he did back when he was playing for Scott Brooks and the Washington Wizards. But I will add that, you know, when you play in the NBA, as you become more of a veteran, as you have year after year after year of experience, and you grow up as a person, you know, like if we all think about ourselves, you know, what we were like when we were 22 compared to when we were 32, we can all see ourselves have, you know, a lot of growth during that time. And that's also what I see from both John Wall and Boogie Cousins, is that they're now veteran players. You know, they're not knuckleheads anymore. You know, they're not young players who don't know what's coming. They know what's going on in the NBA. They have a lot of experience. They're able to be much more mature. And I think what John Wall is bringing to the Rockets is not only his you know, great point guard skills and his explosiveness and his open court play, but also he's bringing a leadership that I think maybe has surprised Stephen Silas a little bit, to know that John Wall is that good of a leader. And John Wall has come right in and taken that leadership mantle right away on the Houston Rockets. And I think it's very important that the Rockets have a leader like that, that can get everybody together and keep them going. I think Chris Paul was sort of that type of guy a few years back. And I think when you're playing alongside James Harden, you have to be very careful about how you're leading, because of course, it seems like James and Chris Paul got sideways, and so that didn't go well. But maybe John Wall and James Harden can figure out this leadership dynamic, and they can both, you know, like the Dream and Clyde did back in 95, is Clyde came in and they won a championship. So let's hope that John Wall and James Harden can sort of bring that same dynamic to the Rockets in 2020.
You know, and I'm so glad you bring up the leadership element of John Wall, because he's been, you know, extremely vocal since getting here to Houston, you know, talking about, you know, getting the guys together, really, you know, it seems like they're harboring a really positive atmosphere and that everybody's on the same page, that they're really buying into Steven Silas's system, which is so important, you know, that you're getting that level of buy-in from your players right away. And I want to circle this around to a question of, you know, what is, for somebody who hasn't, or I apologize, for somebody who has been there and experienced, you know, an NBA team, you know, at its core, being a part of all that, when we throw the word culture around a lot, you know, surrounding an NBA team, culture, chemistry, the word leadership gets thrown around a lot, but the behind the scenes of it all, does that stem from the players? Does it stem from the coaching staff? Is it a direct result of the ownership? Is it a little bit of everything? You know, if you could just kind of paint the picture as somebody who's been there and been a part of an NBA team, where does that come from?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, there really is no formula for putting together the right chemistry, the right culture on your team. It really is a product of everybody who's involved. And I'll go back to the championship era Rockets. You know, we had a bunch of guys who, if they were on different teams or in different situations, they wouldn't have been nearly as good as they were with the Rockets in the mid-90s. Not, you know, I talk about Vernon Maxwell. You know, Vernon Maxwell had bounced around the NBA. He was a hothead. He was a knucklehead. He was crazy. You know, everybody called him Mad Max. But when he was with us, he knew he was loved. He knew he was wanted. And we were all able to sort of guide him and keep him, you know, out of the ditches on either side, and guide him and really use his fiery personality to our advantage. And Mario Elie was another guy like that. Mario, when he came to the Rockets, he had bounced around the entire world playing basketball, but he fit perfectly with us. And the Dream was the same way, in that, you know, Dream wasn't a real vocal leader. He led by example. But I will point out, I think this is important time right now to talk about Hakeem. You know, we already talked about how in 92 he was, you know, trying to force his way out of the Rockets, and he had a conversation with Charlie Thomas, and all of that got smoothed over. But the most important part of that story is Hakeem went from Hakeem Olajuwon, his first name spelled with an A, to Hakeem Olajuwon, where he added the H in front of his name, and that coincided with Hakeem's very drastic change in lifestyle when he rededicated himself to his religion, to Islam, and really followed the tenets of his religion to be a much more disciplined, focused, truthful, honest, hardworking person. And that radical transformation in Hakeem's life to become Hakeem is what really enabled us to be able to win championships. And so I think that's what we're hoping to see from James Harden. And, you know, I talked a little bit about how John Wall has, you know, and Boogie Cousins are not knuckleheads anymore. They've matured. They're much better veteran NBA players now. And I think that's the transformation that we need to see from James Harden, is that he needs to put basketball first. You know, just like the Dream did in the mid-90s, to win a championship, you have to be all in. You have to be 100%. Every single day is about being the best basketball player you can be. And if the Rockets are going to win championships in this era, it's going to coincide with if James Harden commits to putting basketball first.
And at least through three games, it looks like he's got some really quality pieces around him going into this season, in John Wall, in Boogie Cousins, having a big man in Boogie Cousins who can hit the three ball at the rate that he's been shooting it is really phenomenal, something the Rockets haven't had in previous years. And so that's going to be a really fun dynamic. And we haven't even gotten a chance to see Christian Wood play with the team yet. So that's another fun, young, exciting player who's going to, you know, hopefully have a really high ceiling and do some amazing things with this team. But of the other guys through these first three preseason games, who else has really stood out to you so far, Matt?
Well, you know, I think Rafael Stone has done a terrific job of reloading the Rockets roster, because at the end of last season, the Rockets were hard capped. really no way to make any moves, no draft picks. And yet Rafael Stone was able to work some magic and trade Russell Westbrook for John Wall and get Boogie Cousins on a 1 year, not even guaranteed contract, and also get some more draft picks back into the fold so that they can, you know, maybe, you know, draft some younger players or use those draft picks in trades, if any of that comes up. So I think Rafael deserves a lot of credit for giving the Rockets a lot more flexibility. But some of the guys that he's brought in, I think David Nwaba, he was brought in last year under Daryl Morey, but he's another guy who's rehabbing from an Achilles tear, and he looks pretty good. I think he's going to be a good addition to the Rockets because he has that sort of body type that is very versatile in the NBA. He's 6'5", 6'6", long arms, plays really hard on the defensive end, an excellent defender, and is very versatile in what he can do, but he can also knock down some threes and drive. And Jayshon Tate is another player in that same type of mold as Nwaba, that he's very versatile. This will be his first year in the NBA as he played the last couple of years over in Australia. But I think as soon as Jayshon Tate gets used to the speed of the NBA, you know, everybody in the NBA is a much better athlete than any other league around the world. And so the speed and the strength and the physicality of the NBA is much greater than any other league. But I think Jayshon Tate has the kind of NBA body that's going to be able to adapt quickly. And so I think, you know, the Rockets now have a lot more flexibility in how they want to play. And some of these guys who are going to be coming off the bench are going to be very effective. And then let's also add that Eric Gordon looks a lot better this season than he did last year when he had to have knee surgery in the middle of the season. And so Eric Gordon's going to be another real big key to the Rockets' success this season.
Yeah, I've been blown away by what we've seen out of David Nwaba and Jayshon Tate. I was really high on Jayshon Tate when it was first rumored that the Rockets had interest in bringing him over, and then they finalized the addition of Will Weaver to Steven Silas' staff, and I basically said that it was all she wrote and that Jayshon Tate would absolutely be joining because of that. And then not long after that, we got Jayshon Tate, and it was just a very exciting time. So definitely buy into Jayshon Tate's stock. I think he can really be something special and alongside David Nwaba. Now, I do think that we need to lock them both in a gym with you for like 1,000 hours to work on their three-point shooting. Apart from that, defensively, those two guys have been absolute standouts so far. Their hustle, their athleticism, it's off the charts.
Let me say that with the pandemic going on, I'm not allowed around the team, so I won't be able to get into the gym to help those guys with their shooting. But the Rockets have added Jeff Hornacek on the coaching staff, and Jeff Hornacek was a terrific shooter in his day. Probably, you know, if you looked at the numbers, you would say that he was a better shooter than I was in our careers. And interestingly enough about Jeff Hornacek, he was a walk-on at Iowa State a couple years ahead of when I was playing at Iowa back in the 80s. And his jump shot was unique, and it wasn't very fundamentally sound when he was in college. He was a good percentage shooter, but it wasn't as bad as, say, Kenny Smith's jumper fundamentally, but it was not fundamentally sound. And Jeff Hornacek was able to remake his jumper as a pro to make it look a lot more fundamentally sound. And so he knows the work that it takes to rebuild a jump shot. And so let's hope that Jeff Hornacek can shed some of those Utah Jazz colors that are probably deep in his soul and replace them with Rockets red, and then teach these new guys how to shoot.
We'll forgive him. It's not his fault. all right. Well, hey, we've got our final segment coming up here in just a moment, because I do want to hear a little bit about what the Rockets are doing this season in regards to fans in the stadium. One of only five teams in the NBA to be doing that to start the season, as well as we're bringing back the good old fashioned bull or no bull. And we'll get there in just a moment after a quick message from our friends over at Built Go. Whether it's a mental or physical wall, break through it with Built Go every single day. Built Go is the best workout gel on the market. It's like drinking a Monster, but with just a third of the caffeine and significantly better results. It's Think of it like 5-hour energy without that same crashing feeling. Plus, it's natural, so it's way better for your body. They've got 3 delicious flavors. There's chocolate coconut, chocolate mint for the chocolate lovers, and then there's peanut butter honey, which is my personal favorite. Just can't go wrong with it. They come in these little easy to carry around 1.5-ounce little packages. You can just keep it tucked away in your pocket. You can throw it in your briefcase, throw it in your gym bag, whatever, to get you through your workout. They're great, and they can help power you through your day and break down walls. So just check it out. Go to builtgo.com and use promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 20% off your very next order. So again, that's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, chatting with Matt Bullard of the Houston Rockets. Now, Matt, the Rockets are going to have fans in Toyota Center this season, which is just, it's impressive that they're going to be able to pull this off. And they've got, I'm guessing, a lot of safety precautions in place. And it sounds like kind of a new fan experience in a way. So can you walk us through some of the things that the Rockets are doing to make this not only a safe experience, but a fun experience for fans that are going to be in attendance at Toyota Center?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting this year. And you know, I was, last night was the first night that I was back in an NBA arena watching an NBA basketball game in person. And man, it felt so good to be back watching live basketball. And so, you know, for the Rockets fans who are going to be able to get a ticket for the season, for the games this year, you're really going to enjoy what you're seeing, because, you know, watching NBA basketball live, there's really nothing better. It's, you know, it's such a dynamic sport with the greatest athletes on the planet, and being able to see it live is just really a cool experience. But yeah, I want to point out that in the middle of a pandemic, the entire NBA, and that's all the players, all the coaches, all the front office, even the broadcasters, you know, all the media that's around the team, we all have to do our part to make sure that we stay as safe as possible, you know, keep wearing our masks 100% of the time, keep our distance from other people. Don't be going inside into restaurants or bars and hanging out, because that's, you know, the way this virus spreads. And so if you are one of the lucky ones to have a ticket to come to see the Rockets, you're going to be part of this responsibility to make sure that you don't come and bring the virus, you know, to the arena. And I think everybody who's going to come to a game is going to have a negative test first. And that's important that you're not bringing the virus to the game. But it is going to be a unique experience, because you know, last night when I was at the game, there was a few hundred people scattered throughout the stands, and it's going to feel a little bit different because no one's going to be able to be right down there on the court. And so it'll be a unique experience. If you get to do it, it'll be something you'll remember forever, to come see a basketball game in the middle of the pandemic. And I will point out that one of the things that we saw in the bubble, and it's still going on now, is the floor. There's no fans around the floor, right? There's no courtside seats. There's plenty of space for the players to play as hard as they can all the way past the out of bounds lines and go flying out of bounds on a fast break and not have any danger of getting hurt or hurting fans, or go diving along the sideline to save a ball. And so I think it actually makes the product a little bit better, that players are able to play off the floor safely and not have to worry about that. And I kind of like that, that is still going on right now, that there won't be fans that close. I know, you know, when the pandemic is over, we're going to have courtside seats again. They're too expensive not to have. But let's enjoy the game that we're seeing now, with these players really being able to play hard even off the floor. And you know, it's kind of like watching teams on a practice court. You know, when there's no fans there, they can play hard and they can go diving off the practice court. Well, we get to see that in games now too.
Absolutely. And it is a unique version of this product that we're only going to have, while we're still dealing with COVID-19 and waiting for the vaccines to roll out and get everything back under control. So, again, the fact that we're getting NBA basketball, you know, the best basketball played in the world at all, is so impressive. And we need to not take it for granted. So if you are one of the lucky few to get to go to a game this season, cherish it, take plenty of pictures, remember the experience, because it's definitely sounds like it's going to be a one-of-a-kind experience. Now, with that, we're going to go into our final little bit that we've got here, which we've got a few bull or no bull questions lined up. You think you're ready for these, Bull?
If I'm not, I'll have to be. Let's hit it.
We're doing it a little bit different than last time. So instead of it being like trivia based, these are going to be kind of predictions about the season. So we're doing it a little bit different this time. So let's go with this first one. Eric Gordon will shoot better than 37% from three this season. Bull or no bull? Now, for reference, in his first 4 years as a Houston Rocket, he shot 37%, 36%, another 36%, and then last year he was down to 32%.
I think that Eric will shoot 37% this season. And you know, 37% is just about one percentage point above league average. I always say if you can shoot 40% in the NBA, then you've done a spectacular job shooting the ball. And that's what Ben McLemore did last year. He shot right at 40%. So 37% is a number that I believe Eric Gordon absolutely can hit this year. So I'm going to say I'm very bullish on Eric Gordon being able to shoot 37%.
Okay. All right. Well, in that case, we're going to say no bull then, because it's no bull. He will shoot better than 37% or right at 37%. So I like that. Awesome. All right. That bodes well for all things Houston Rockets, because when Eric Gordon's thriving, the Rockets are thriving. That's a good thing. Here's our next one. John Wall averages more than 8 assists per game. Bull or no bull?
Ooh, that's a good question. And John Wall is currently number 6 among active players in the NBA in assists, total assists. So he is shown over years and years and years of being a terrific point guard, a pass-first point guard. And I think with the way the Rockets lineup looks, with the shooters that they have now on the roster, playing alongside James Harden, I think for sure John Wall will average more than 8 assists a game. I think I think it's possible that John Wall could be a double-digit assist guy this year, depending on, let's just say that James Harden sticks with the Rockets all year and everything, you know, kind of gets smoothed over. Rockets could be very good with John Wall averaging about 8 or 9 or even 10 assists a game.
Okay, I like it. I like it. We got two no bulls in a row. I like it. All right, here's our third one. And this one, I feel like I might get you on this one. We'll see. The Rockets finished top 10 in offensive efficiency and defensive efficiency.
Well, if that happens, the Rockets have a legitimate chance at a championship. I think for sure the Rockets will be top 10 offensive rating. But the big question is, can they be top 10 defensive rating? And they haven't been over the last few years. And that's what's really kept them from being, you know, true championship caliber. Now, the Rockets the last few years have been playing a switch everything type defense, but you can't do that now with the personnel the Rockets have. You can't switch everything when Boogie Cousins is on the floor. You got to use him as a standard center. And even Christian Wood, probably athletic enough to switch everything, but yet long enough to be able to protect the rim if you played him as a normal center, as a rim protector as well. And I think Steven Silas has ideas where he's going to change his defense up quite a bit. And I think that's the right thing to do. I'll go back to when the Rockets and the Utah Jazz in the 90s were playing each other. We had 5 different ways to guard the John Stockton, Karl Malone pick and roll. And if John Stockton knew how you were going to guard the pick and roll, he would beat it every time. So we had to switch up the way we were defending the pick and rolls in games to try to keep John Stockton off guard and not know what was coming. So I think with Steven Silas's defensive philosophy of switching things up defensively so that the other team doesn't really know what kind of defense they're going to have to face, I think that gives this Rockets team a chance to make it into the top 10 defensive rating. And so I'm going to say if the Rockets are top 10 in both, they're going to be championship caliber, but I'm going to say that probably this year the Rockets are not going to be a top 10 defensive team.
Okay, so we've got our first bull on that one. Okay, so we've got two no bulls and one bull so far. All right, and I totally agree. I think it's going to be interesting to see how they model themselves defensively after years of that switch everything scheme that really started all the way back with Jeff Bezelik and kind of, you know, the first guy who really went that heavy with that scheme with the way the Rockets did. And then they dialed it up to 11 with the small ball version of the Rockets that we saw this past season. So it'll be great to see how they kind of move back to a more traditional version of playing defense, some drop coverage mixed in with their bigs, that kind of thing. Speaking of Christian Wood, so here we go. We've got our first Christian Wood question. Christian Wood lives up to the hype and is at least a finalist for most improved player of the year. Bull or no bull?
Another great question. And I hope that he does. I hope that he does, win the most improved player in the NBA. And
that'd
he's got
fantastic.
A chance. You know, it would be very good to see. It would make his contract look like a bargain if he was able to do that. And he is an up and coming player. And his first few years in the NBA, he wasn't really able to play up to speed. Last year, when Detroit inserted him as a starter, his numbers went off the charts, and that's why the Rockets were so bullish on getting him to Houston and paying him a nice salary, because they do see the potential and they do see the work that he's put in. So it would be great if he could get to be a most improved player this year, and I hope that he does. But there's a lot of great players in the NBA. And so I'm very excited to see Christian Wood. We haven't seen him in any games yet. I'm excited to see how great of a season he's going to have. But I'm going to say that's I'm going to call that some bull right there.
Okay. All right. So we're 2-2 so far. We got two left. Two more to go. And so for this next one, I had to put the disclaimer at the front, but as presently constructed, the Rockets will be a top 4 seed in the West this year. Bull or no bull?
Man,
it's a stacked Western Conference.
No doubt. The Western Conference, got so much better. And of course, the West has been tough for years and years, but the Lakers got better and they're the champions. Portland Trailblazers got better. Phoenix Suns got better. How about Chris Paul and Devin Booker there in Phoenix? That's going to be a team that you're going to have to pay attention to. And the Utah Jazz are always good. And the Denver Nuggets, I think, are going to be another team as Michael Porter Jr. gets a chance to really take another step forward with his game. So if the Rockets get in the top four, that'll be a tremendous accomplishment. But I don't think that the Rockets are going to pull a top 4 seed in the NBA Western Conference this year.
All right. So we've got a little bit of bull on that question. Okay. All right. We've got our last one. This is I had a little bit of fun with this one, Matt, but let's go. Prime Matt Bullard would beat Ben McLemore in a 3-point shootout. Bull or no bull?
No question I would beat him if I was in my prime. if I was his same age and we were both in the NBA today, we were both on the Rockets, there's no question I could beat Ben McLemore in a 3-point shooting contest. And he's got a beautiful jump shot. And he talked about how last year he shot 40% from the 3-point line and he put on a shooting clinic. But I just invite you NBA, Houston Rockets fans to get on NBA.com stats and see who the all-time Rockets season leader in three-point percentage really is and see how much above 40% that person shot. And I will tell you that I would beat Ben McLemore in a 3-point contest.
I love it. I love the confidence. It's very impressive. I just had to lob that one up there for you to knock it out of the park, because I was just like, let's just set him up.
Yeah, and of course, it's more important to be knocking down threes in the playoffs than it is in the regular season. So look and see who the Rockets playoff 3-point percentage leader is, of all time as well.
I love it. Thanks again, Matt, as always, for joining. It's always a great time to have you on here to talk Rockets hoops. As always, let me give you a chance to plug anything you'd like to before we get you out of here.
I'm just looking forward to having another NBA season. I'm looking forward to all of us, NBA fans of really, getting back to normal. I know we're just a few months away from the vaccinations being unrolled for most of the country. And so let's all stick together. Let's all be responsible for each other. Let's treat each other well. Let's enjoy the basketball that we're watching. And let's hope that, by the end of this season, when the teams get into the playoffs and everything, and then everything gets back to normal this summer.
Absolutely, no doubt about it. Hopefully we get to return to some semblance of normalcy, and hopefully the NBA can kind of help carry us along to get us there, and hopefully help us keep from going too stir crazy with everything going on in the meantime. But as always, Matt, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us today.
Always great, Jackson. Thank you.
All right. For today's episode, that's going to do it. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.